from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco, world-class museums both, are facing serious management and morale problems. That's according to recent news reports. The institutions, which include the D. Young Museum in Golden Gate Park and the Legion of Honor in Lincoln Park, have been without a director since John Buchanan died over a year ago. And several longtime staff members have been fired. Some critics have blamed board president Diane B. Wilsey, D.D. Wilsey, for the museum's troubles and have accused her of nepotism and other misuses of power. And joining us for a discussion of this is Robert Flynn Johnson. He's here with us in studio, and he is curator emeritus at the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco. He curated the exhibition Dreaming of the West, Photographs of the Southern Pacific Railroad at the Napa Valley Museum at Yountville, which is there through March 24th. And Robert Flynn Johnson, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. We'll also say good morning. It's actually afternoon in New York City, but reporter for the New York Times, Patricia Cohen, who did an article on this turmoil at the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco, which appeared on March 15th. Her latest book is In Our Prime, The Fascinating History and Promising Future of Middle Age. I have to look at that. Newly released in paperback. Patricia Cohen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And before we begin here, I wanted to read a statement that was put out by the museum, which is now actually Ken Garcia, former columnist, is now in charge of publicity for the museum and communication. And sent this over. Board President D.D. Wilsey turned down our invitation to appear, and the Fine Arts Museum declined to provide another representative. The museum requested that Forum postpone our segment, quote, until it could provide news of a major announcement next week, end quote. The museum has said that it will make a public announcement soon about a new director, so we presume that next week's major announcement, as they've characterized it, has to do with that. Let me begin, if I may, Robert Johnson, with you, and this is at least the way it's been reported in the New York Times and so forth, turning into quite a mess. We'll hear from Patricia Cohen, who's been covering this from a journalistic standpoint. But you were there 32 years. You're a curator emeritus. And I suppose one of the things that's caused a great deal of outrage is Lynn Orr, who was there almost as long as you have, being released for her performance. There's nothing on record about her performance from probably one of the greatest experts in the world on European painting. And brought this Vermeer exhibit here. Is she indicative of what's happening here? People are being laid off supposedly because of union busting?
Well, listen, first of all, I'm rather sad to be here because I devoted the majority of my professional career to this institution, and I love it. I loved it when I was working there, and I continue to love it and respect it. I'm actually here to stand up for my colleagues, of which nine of which have been dismissed in the past year, nine terminated, including Lynn Orr. And one of the things that is also, I think, unfortunate this morning is that the fact that there's nobody here from the museum to explain their side of is a continuation of their sense of behind closed doors is their standard operating procedure. I've talked to Lynn Orr at length about this, and she is, of course, as you mentioned, one of the distinguished curators in America in the area of European paintings. And she was called into a meeting in late November and told summarily that that she was terminated. She asked what reasons. They said performance. She said what performance. They said it's all been decided. We don't want to discuss this, and escorted her out of the building. I find something like that to be staggering, especially in a city like San Francisco that has great respect for work rules and for people's performance. If, in fact, she was doing something that they felt was inadequate, they should have given her told her what those things were and given her a chance to adjust them.
But the irony is she's not even a union member. She's management, but was standing with the union, as I understand it, or at least showing her support for the union.
Correct, yes. She was sympathetic to the union, but that's like having somebody terminated because they wear a blue tie instead of a red tie, or they voted for Obama or Romney.
Or being terminated because you wear prison stripes, as one member of the staff did in protest against, are we talking about having to
Joe McDonald,
a time clock that you have to register with?
Yeah, that was an open discussion, and he was showing some humor. But the fact of the matter is that the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco is a city department. It is part of the city. And but what people aren't aware of is that after Prop 13 and all of that, the finances had to be reorganized, and a great number of the staff are paid for and are work through something called the COFAM, which is the Corporation of the Fine Arts Museum San Francisco. And it seems, as far as I can see, that these people are working at that museum at will and can be fired for no reason and have no ability to protest their firing to any degree or to find out what is going on.
Let's talk about what's going on, though, from a top-down level. I mean, mm-hmm. You've got Dee Dee Wilsey, who, as I understand it, has not only been president of the board since the 90s, and she has been a major inspiration and fundraiser for this museum. Let us put that on the record because
there's no question
how much she's contributed. But there has been a law change. There used to have a law or at least an ordinance within the museum that said that somebody could only serve a certain number of years. That's been dispensed with. That's been done away with. We want to get that on the record, too.
Right.
And so you've got Dee Dee and you've got a couple of other people who don't necessarily have much in the way of professional or managerial experience behind them, or for that matter, the kind of experience that would lend itself to making these kind of executive decisions?
Well, my understanding is since the unfortunate death of John Buchanan, the director who died in December of 2011, the so-called governance of the museum has been a triumvirate of the bookkeeper at the museum, a registrar, and Mrs. Wilsey. So you have a bookkeeper, a registrar, and an amateur making these decisions. And one of the problems is that all of this turmoil is taking place where there is no director. There is no professional on the staff that is in charge of the running of the museum.
Again, Robert Flynn Johnson here in studio is curator emeritus of the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco. And Patricia Cohen's a reporter of the New York Times who did an article called Turmoil at Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco that appeared in the March 15th edition of the New York Times. There seems to be disagreement, Patricia Cohen, so let's help have you help us sort through this. Carl Pascarella, for example, who's a trustee, backs Dee Dee Wilsey. She has said, you know, everything is so transparent, you almost have to give notice 72 hours if I'm going to put on some weight.
Right.
I mean, in other words, it's not necessarily a clear case as it's being presented here of things being run in an autocratic way. What have you found?
Well, I think part of the problem is that people don't really understand what's going on or the motivations for it. Even what you were discussing before, which was whether some of these people were dismissed in retaliation for their efforts on behalf of the union, is really all speculation. Nobody knows. I think the way that the staff feels and a lot of supporters of the museum feel is that there are all of these actions being taken, as Robert Johnson said, in the absence of a director, and they don't know why or what the overall mission is. So there's this sense of, since the director died in December 2011, that things were kind of rudderless. And Dee Dee Wilsey, obviously, is a very passionate and powerful supporter of the arts and president of the board, and there's all kinds of, again, speculation that she is behind all these moves because of that, and there is a deputy director who she hired, so who would, on the face of it, seem to be indebted to her. But nobody really knows what's going on. Now, the as you said, when I did speak to the museum, they did say that they expect to announce a new director within 2 weeks, and that is the
supposed to be, excuse me, the word is it's going to be Colin Bailey from the Frick Collection?
Yes, there's Lee Rosenbaum, who writes an arts blog, has printed that she has it on good sourcing that it's Colin Bailey, right, who's at the Frick Museum, and I have heard that as well, but again, I just want to say I have not confirmed that independently, but and certainly he's a very respected figure in the museum world, and that may help the museum kind of put it on a course. But clearly there are a couple of themes that I continually heard as I was doing my reporting across the board, and one is the, as you mentioned, the elimination of term limits, particularly for the president. So,
could I go to that first, if it may, because the San Francisco Bay Guardian, which first reported many of these revelations, which we'll talk about, the firings and other problems of the DO, reported that the bylaws of the board were actually changed to eliminate term limits for the president, meaning that Dede Wilsey could stay in the post for as long as the board colleagues want her, and that seems to be the case.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say even people who, you know, support Ms. Wilsey and what she's done are troubled by that. She's been board president since 1998. There was an audit by the city, the in San Francisco, which came out in June 2012, which I read, and which criticized the governance of the museum on two levels, one for a lack of transparency and two for the elimination of term limits.
Well, there was more criticism also about not only lack of transparency and term limits, but the fact that, I mean, the audit, and certainly it's come out on a couple of occasions that Dede Wilsey was using the museum personally for her own collection and, I mean, to tend to her own personal collection.
Right. Now what I want to say about that is, you know, and I've seen these kind of anonymously leaked memorandum and emails. It is not unusual at museums for museum staff to help trustees or very generous donors in terms of advice and collections. Usually, what we don't really know is who is paying for it in terms of was the museum picking up costs that normally Miss Wilsey or any private collector would have done. But that it's not unusual for professional staff to offer that kind of assistance. And museum directors at other museums have said that as well. I think here it's really the issue of payment, and I think what is contributing to it is this whole kind of atmosphere of a kind of noblesse oblige and you know, too much power, even though there is a system of governance. I think a lot of people feel that the board, Ms. Wilsey has been successful in stocking the board with a lot of people who are supporters of her or indebted to her, and there's a lot of longtime supporters of the museum who feel that they have been kind of shut out of any say in the governance of the museum.
Did you speak with Denise Fitch, who's a trustee, who says there's one person in control and it's Diane Wilsey?
Yes, I did speak with her.
And I guess several trustees, just several trustees and a number of donors and former board members and staff have said the same thing.
Yes, and a lot. And one thing I will say is that I spoke to many, many people who were absolutely adamant that I not reveal their names, because there's definitely, I would say, almost a climate of fear that they will suffer retribution. And I'm not only talking about staff at the museum, but other, you know, donors or board members who fear, because Ms. Wilsey is such a powerful figure, not only at the museum but in the San Francisco art community in general, of almost being blackballed if they speak out. So,
did anybody speak about her son's exhibit of photography, Trevor Traina's exhibit of photography, which has been labeled nepotism and a lot of
concern about that? That was a photography exhibit in the summertime, and there's, you know, we don't know anything in terms of exactly how that exhibit came about. The staff at the museum basically says that it's, you know, an excellent collection and that it's on the merits of which it was selected. I do know other experts, though, in the field, and certainly there were art critics at the time in June over the summer when the museum was exhibiting this collection that criticized it, saying that normally it really did not raise to the level of earning its own independent exhibition. And what is troubling, of course, is that because it's a private collection, obviously having an exhibit in a museum like that raises the value of the collection and the price. So without her son, Trevor Traina, necessarily saying he was going to donate those pieces at some point, the museum, there does seem to be a conflict of interest.
Well, in the midst of all these flurry of charges and indictments and concerns that have been raised, you talk about raising the value. There's also a flap over the reduction of value of a painting by Modigliani. Can you comment on that?
Yes, now this is another complicated episode, like all of these things. Basically, there was an exchange of emails. There's a Modigliani painting that the Fine Arts Museum owned that had not been authenticated. They wanted to send it to basically the expert who was in Paris to authenticate this painting, and it was appraised initially at $500,000. Then there was some confusion over whether there would be a very hefty customs fee because of this. And as a result, ultimately, the painting appraisal value was reduced to saying it was worth $15,000 instead of $500,000 over the objections of two staff members, one of which was Lynn Orr. Now, the museum says that they, since this these memorandum have been made public, the museum says that they have conducted an internal review and are convinced that everyone acted with integrity, that in fact the museum was never liable to pay a very high customs fee, which is $35,000, and they only changed the appraisal at the request of the shipping company. I myself actually find that explanation somewhat incomplete, because the fact is that at the time the decision was made, even though museum officials, it turned out the museum was not liable for that fee at the time, when the decision was made, they did not know that. So at the time that they made the decision, it was the appraisal value was being reduced. They thought that the museum was going to have to pay that fee. And it still, I think, seems suspicious to me that it was the person who was Lynn Orr who would be in the best position to really appraise its value thought it shouldn't be reduced. And as it turns out, it is an authentic Modigliani.
Well, we just received a letter from the museum just sent a letter to us from the Masterpiece International Limited,
exactly.
Signed by Sarah Tedder, and it says, in short, the museum owes no payment to French Customs for the temporary export of the painting to France for authentication. Hope this clarification is helpful. They spoke directly to the agent and France, but I want to, well, first of all, I want to go back to get some response from Robert Flynn Johnson. Before I do that, let me invite those of you listening. I know many of you are big fans of the museums and admirers, certainly, of Dee Dee Wilsey, and many of you are concerned about the troubles that are going on at the Fine Arts Museums, and as much as you may be admiring of them, have some concerns about the morale and what we've been outlining here in terms of charges and the like, and concerns that have been raised. Our toll-free number is available. Should you care to join us, you're certainly cordially invited to do that now. It's 866-733-6786. Again, feel free to give us your thoughts and join us on the program and join this conversation. Toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQED Forum. You can also go to our Facebook page, and you can also go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, talking really about the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco facing serious morale as well as management problems. That's according to recent news reports. And the institutions, again, include the D. Young in Golden Gate Park and the Legion of Honor in Lincoln Park. They've been without a director since John Buchanan, a frequent guest on this program, died over a year ago, and several longtime staff members have been fired, and some critics are blaming Board President Diane Wilsey for the museum's troubles and accusing her of nepotism and, frankly, other misuses of power. What about that nepotism, Robert Flynn Johnson?
Well, one of the problems of the institution these days is it seems that the Board of Trustees has ceded their fiduciary responsibilities to social niceties, which unfortunately is an old story in San Francisco culture, and has put Mrs. Wilsey in a position of being a president for life, so to speak. And this is completely against the guidelines and rules of the American Association of Museums, where board museums.
It's also against your charter, isn't it?
Yeah, it was against her charter, and they changed it. They changed it. She basically changed it for herself, and it's a real problem. Also, the fact is that, you know, when you go to see exhibitions down at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, where there's works on loan to exhibitions, it's amazing how many of those works of art say promise gift to the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. In the case of the Trevor Trainier show, at least at the time of the exhibition last summer, my understanding is not a single photograph had been promised or given to the institution. I believe a few photographs have been subsequently given to or promised to the institution, but it's highly unusual to have an exhibition like that, especially an exhibition of a museum, a trustee of that museum, without some promise of some or all of the collection coming to the museum.
There's also, and we'll go to your calls in just a moment here, but Patricia Cohen, there's also been some concern about the structural deficit that's built in. I mean, initially, certainly the money was raised for this museum, and Dee Dee Wilsey was probably more singularly responsible than anybody for raising that money, but there's no operating endowment, as I understand it.
Well, I think that's a very good point you raise, and it's some of the questions that I think any new director is going to have to face and that the board is going to have to face is a situation that many museums all over the country are facing, which is you've built this incredible institution that ultimately is very expensive to run. The yearly budget is about $55 million. So museums, world-class museums, are constantly caught in this kind of conflict on the one hand of wanting to produce these very popular blockbuster shows that are going to bring in a lot of patrons to the museum and bring in revenue, and on the other hand, fulfilling their mission as museums to do scholarly shows and do a lot of their own research and create a new body.
Forgive me, can't afford to do too many of those these days, can they?
Exactly, and I think and I think that's one of the issues. And I spoke with Lynn Orr, in fact, that just in terms of raising it above the specific personnel issues, in terms of the larger future and mission of the museum, is how the San Francisco Fine Arts Museums are going to deal with that issue, and it's a continuing one. And I think John Buchanan, as I understand it, the previous director, was kind of an impresario at organizing these very popular exhibitions, but okay, at the same time, you know, making room on occasion for the scholarly one. And the question is, going into the future, how will that balance be struck?
And I should say that one of the great scholarly exhibitions of recent years was the show, the wonderful exhibition called The Cult of Beauty that Lynn Orr curated, that was also shown at the Victoria and Albert Museum. And look what happened to her.
Well, let me bring our callers into this again. Robert Flynn Johnson with us, curator emeritus from the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco, and Patricia Cohen, reporter for the New York Times. Let's bring in Doris as our first caller. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about what the city, like the, you know, our elected officials, the board, the supervisors, and the mayor, and the park, the Rec and Park people, what is their liability or involvement in overseeing the museums, or, you know, as part of, you know, city property? Doesn't the city own the property, and don't they have some kind of obligation to make sure people are, you know, doing it organized right and managing it right?
Yeah, you had, Patricia Cohen, you mentioned before that this is, and so had you, Robert Flynn Johnson.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, okay, thank you for the call.
Robert right, Flynn Johnson. There was going to, let me just lay it out, Robert, and then you can
sure.
go ahead. It's basically a public-private partnership, which is very common in cities. In New York City, for example, Central Park is run through a public-private partnership. At this point, the city contributes 23% of the museum's budget, which is a tiny portion ultimately. It's less than a quarter of it, and the rest is raised through private funds. And as Robert mentioned before, there is this nonprofit corporation, essentially, the acronym is COFAM, which is essentially charged with running the museum. And some, about 100 of the employees, are work for directly for the city and are paid for the city, and the rest are paid through COFAM.
Robert Flynn Johnson.
Yes, I mean, one of the things I should also say, and this was in the audit report by Harvey Rose last year, is he makes it very clear He said, because COFAM meetings are not subject to the city's open meeting policies, the oversight of the museum's budget, physical audits, and facilities is not being conducted in a public or transparent manner, which is completely in opposition to what that trustee said about how this place is so open and transparent. In point of fact, the city audit says absolutely not, that basically COFAM can do whatever they like behind closed doors.
Mrs. Woolsey said essentially the same thing. Correct, but it's transparent, utterly transparent.
But what it does is it means that the staff has to go about doing their loyal, scholarly business, walking on eggshells, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, the feeling is around the institution. You know, if we can fire Lenore, we can fire any of you. So you better stay in line.
Let me bring another caller in. And Jane, that's you. Welcome to the program. You're
good
on
morning.
Here.
Good
Hi.
Morning. I'm a donor and supporter of both the Fine Arts Museums and also the San Francisco Symphony. And I just wanted to say that this lack of transparency is very alienating. I was at the annual meeting of the symphony, and I heard nothing about labor negotiations. And now the musicians are on strike. And I wanted to put out the idea that governing boards have an obligation to govern in a way that doesn't alienate people who enjoy the boards that they work so hard, enterprises they work so hard to augment. And as a symphony supporter and donor, and as a fine arts museum supporter and donor, I feel very upset about what's happened in San Francisco just in the last week or so.
Well, Jane, thank you for your comments, and a lot of people upset about this, but here's another opinion. Maria writes, this all started with the tragic death of its director, then a new timekeeping system consisting of a finger-scanning system like they use at 24-hour fitness and elsewhere. The New York Times piece was the first coverage of this issue that I've read, which was balanced and respectful. There are a lot of people who have worked there for a long time, are well-paid, enjoy very relaxed working conditions, and believe that they are almost de facto parts of the collection. They're not. They're staff, and they have bitten the hand that feeds them repeatedly. When you do that, in the culture of the fine arts, which is in large part supported by powerful, wealthy people, you risk losing. You say what to that, Robert?
Well, you know, one of the things that it's so easy to criticize these people from the outside. I've been in the inside. I worked there for 32 years. And, the director at the Fine Arts Museums gets an enormous salary. The rest of the staff get okay salaries, but for the living standard in San Francisco, not terrific. Some of these people, such as Bill White, 32 years, Lynn Orr, 29 years, these people are the institutional memory of the institution. You know, and when Mrs. Woolsey said in her article in the interview with Ms. Cohen in the New York Times, she says, quote, that she denied any role in the staff firings. If she had any role in the staff firings, as the president of the board, does that mean that the staff is going around firing themselves? I mean, if she is the president of the board, she should know about those things, and she would have had to have ultimately proved them. But if she didn't know anything about it, that means that the museum is out of control, that things are happening under her watch that nobody knows about. So that really needs to be answered.
Well, a lot of things need to be answered here, and I just want to give another email opportunity to be read here from a listener writes, how disappointing and sad the New York Times broke this story, not the San Francisco Chronicle. It's a testament to the decrepit state of arts coverage in our local papers. Actually, Rebecca Bowe from the San Francisco Bay Guardian broke much of the story, and the San Francisco Chronicle has reported on it. I wanted to get that on for the record. A tweet from James that says, oh, Dee Dee, she's a great support, but not qualified to steer fine arts museums in San Francisco. Oh, the glory of it all. And that's a reference to her stepson's book. Thank you, Patricia Cohen. And
thank you.
And good job on your side, and Robert Lynn Johnson. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.